All right, another hand, Susan. This is beautiful. I'm so glad to share the stage with you. Actually, I'm just joyful to be here. Already, I feel energized and joyful about being here. The kids, wow. I have been to Slumber Falls. Let me tell you, it is a fantastic retreat area and just beautiful with the falls and the water. And sometimes I wonder, how would my life be different if I lived like that all the time? How would my life be different if I were in retreat mode all the time? Well, first of all, there'd be lots of energy and wonderful people around me, and yet there'd be quiet times. And there would also be an energy that was just flowing, kind of like the water there at Slumber Falls. Have you ever gone over those little falls at Slumber Falls? Just beautiful. And what would my life be different? How would it be different if I woke up every day with that feeling? With that feeling like the people around me were here in my life for good? What would that be like? What would my life be like if, instead of dragging myself out on Monday, oh, tomorrow's Monday, by the way. Instead of dragging myself out on Monday morning, I was just leaping up and saying, oh my gosh, I am so glad to be alive, and the universe is conspiring in my favor. What would my life be like if I believed the universe is conspiring in my favor? What would my life be like if I saw all people as individual expressions of that divine? I tried this one time. We were in Washington, D.C. at the train station, Union Station there. And I had some time to kill. Well, I didn't really want to kill the time, but I had some time to spend and to share and to grow in. And so I said, let me see if I can see divine spirit in each person that walks by. Let me see if I can do that. That was my spiritual practice for the day. And it was an interesting spiritual practice. You know, a lot of people go by there. Some of them I'm not sure about. But the truth of the matter is I am sure about them because I know that each person has within them that divine spirit. And so what would my life be like if I lived like that? What would my life be like if I walked like that? What would my life be like if I shopped like that? Ever get behind a slow person in line? Somebody that, you know, is trying to get their change out, like I sometimes do, or looking at the credit card going, oh, which one and which button do I press here, or go to the end of the line and forget to press the button and you got to go back and then try it again. So what would our life be like? What would my life be like if I lived consciously all of the time? What would my life be like if I believed the words that I said? What would my life be like? So this is our question today. And it comes from a place of making things wonderful and even better than they are. So what would your life be like if you knew that you could not fail? What would your life be like? What would you do differently? And what would your life be like if you accepted yourself exactly as you are right now? Not how you want to be, not how you'll be after you get that new car, not after you'll be after you lose that 20 pounds, not then, but what if you accepted you as you are right now and accepted you as you are not? What would your life be like? I think it'd be fantastic, actually. I think it'd be fantastic if I absolutely knew that the universe were conspiring in my favor. I think that would be absolutely wonderful. I will give that an amazing, I give it two amazings actually. So this is the question, and I come to Ernest Holmes for the answer because I am a science of mind, religious scientist. We call ourselves religious scientists because we were the Church of Religious Science, and then now we're Centers for Spiritual Living, but we're not spiritual livers. So we're still religious scientists, although we do have some spiritual body parts. The liver is probably one of those two. But so Ernest Holmes was the founder of Science of Mind, and he wrote a book back at the, in 1926, he wrote his first Science of Mind book. And this is where the Science of Mind comes from. He wrote a book, and then a few years later, he changed it. Do you ever have that? You ever write something, put it out there, and then edit it later? So he had a friend that helped him edit it later. I've written some things I wanted to take back sometimes, but he actually was able to add to his book. And he added the first four chapters of Science of Mind, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to talk about the power for good. There's a power for good in the universe, and you can use it. This is how he started all of his talks. He was on the radio and on TV at that time. Now, at that time, they didn't make a lot of recordings, so I have seen one tape of him doing a talk where he's a little guy, you know? He's probably a little taller than I am, but he's not that tall. So he's a little guy. He comes out on the stage, and he says, "There's a power for good in the universe, and you can use it." Now, in these days, people talked as, you know, they didn't have the microphones, right? You're just reaching to the back of the stage, and you have wonderful diction and all that. And then he perched on the edge of the desk. And I thought, well, this is a very interesting character. But I had already read the book, and now when I read, I can hear that voice. That ever happened to you that you're hearing an author read their text, and then all of a sudden you know what that's like? So Ernest Holmes started Science of Mind a little after the Fillmore started Unity. And actually, we have a common ancestors in the Transcendentalist movement and also in Emma Curtis Hopkins. Anybody read Emma Curtis Hopkins? We've seen that Scientific Christian Mental Practice, those books. So Ernest Holmes and studied with Emma Curtis Hopkins, with her. Little hat and white gloves in her parlor. Just imagine these pictures. It's nothing like we have today. Nobody would be showing up in their Speedos. You wouldn't even have to say anything about it. You know, they would have their gloves on. So Ernest Holmes talked about principle, not the kind of principle that's the pal principle, but it's the principle that pulls you in. So he talked about principle. And he talked about the thing itself. The first four chapters, the thing itself. So what is this thing? What is this thing that we describe in so many terms? We can call it life. We call it light. We call it love. We call it beauty. We see it as truth. We see it as that infinite knowingness, that knows, that mind within you that knows everything that you need to know. That is that thing itself. And we can call it by many names, and people across the world during the eons have done that, named it different things at different times, to whatever level that they were at that point, whatever opening they had to that, whatever way that they could describe it. And in some cultures, you don't even say the word because it's too big, it's too great. So this is that thing itself, the thing itself that moves in us and through us. This is what Ernest Holmes says about it. He says, "There is a universal mind, spirit, intelligence, that is the origin of everything. It is first cause. It is God." So he starts to tell us about the thing itself. What is it? And this is what we come to understand. Now the next question, the way it works. Well, how does this thing work? We know it. We see it as life. How does it work? Well, I submit to you that it works for us by working through us. So it has created itself out of, it has created us out of itself, and yet it is not consumed by that it's created. So what happens here is that we see perhaps a work of art. We say, oh, the artist created that. They put themselves really into it. And we get out of it that as well. So that creative process is how this thing itself works. And it works through us as much as we can hold. Now, this is an interesting thing about how much can you hold, how much can you believe. Have you ever been asked that question? It's like you come to the well of spirit with a cup. Is this what you come with? And it's great, and you fill it up, and it is so good. Remember when you first started in this teaching and learning about that and saying, oh, I can have as much joy and as much bliss, fill my cup. Yeah. Okay. So you got that cup filled. And then you get another cup, and you say, I can accept more now. I am ready for more now. Fill my cup. And again, it's wonderful and blissful and perfect. Just what you need at the time, that drink of water, that spirit. And then you come with another cup and you say, ah, fill this cup. Fill this cup. And you are blessed to have that cup filled as well, because spirit does, law does exactly what you ask it. It says, that much, I can do that. So if we do that, we are that place where spirit expresses in our whatever size we can handle. And then soon we come without any cup and say, I am an open channel. Just fill me up, and not only fill me up, but let this spirit pass through me so that I can be part of filling the other cups. Let that spirit pass through me. Let that be. Let that spirit pass through me in my music. Let that spirit pass through me in my teaching. Let that spirit pass through me in my service. Let that spirit pass through me out on the dusty road, waving the signs. Let that pass through me. So that's how spirit works. The way it works is through us. Again, I turn to Ernest. Some people call him Ernest. Some people call him Dr. Ernest Holmes. Some people call him Ernie. And some people call him Sweetie. It depends on your relationship. I'm going to go with Ernest because I feel like it's a personal relationship. This universal life and energy finds an outlet in and through all that is energized and through everything that lives. There is one life, one, back of everything that lives. There's one energy back of all that's energized, and energy is everything. There is one spirit back of all expression, all that one. So the thing itself, one spirit, how it works through us. And what it does, it fills that cup. It brings back to us what it is that we have put into it. So we bring the large cup, it fills the large cup. It then makes that, whatever we bring, into form. Are there any gardeners out there? We have gardeners, and what happens when you plant the seed?
You have to water it.
You have to water it, but it grows what you intended it to grow, right? So this is generally happens. Well, that seed grows exactly what it's supposed to. There may be other things in the garden. But I had this experience once. You know, you take your little cup from kindergarten, and you plant the seed in it, and it grows, and it's like, oh, well, that really worked. That was a really good experience. So I was up in Dallas a couple years ago because I took my classes and workshops up there, and that day they had cups for everybody and seeds and a little bit of soil. And I said, oh, I know about this. I know how this works. You know, you put the seed in the soil, and then it grows. So I took it back to my office, and when I got home, you know, I thought about it, and I thought, the office is going to be a good place because I can watch it, and I don't have anything else to do while I'm there. So, well, actually, that's not true. But my office had no windows at that time. The building I was working in, if you stepped outside the door, you had windows. If you were in your office, you didn't have windows. So I put my little seed in there, and I put the little cup in, you know, and I watered it like I'm supposed to. Gave it whatever, you know, I talked to it, and sure enough, a seed sprouted, and it was a bean seed. And, you know, they love to grow, don't they? They just, their little tendrils go all over. So it was climbing up the pictures, it was going around the room, and I kind of trained it a little bit, you know, so it would do that. And one day I came in, I said, you know, unfortunately, I don't really want this bean in my office. As a matter of fact, I have no use for a little bean plant at all. And yet that's what I had planted. And so it was a conundrum. What do I do now? I have this beautiful bean growing like I had intended it to grow, and everything is perfect and wonderful, except I have no use for bean seed in my office. And every weekend I would set it outside and so it would get light. And pretty soon I thought, okay, I'm responsible now. I planted it. Now what? So I learned from that that you plant what you want to see grow. Have you ever had that experience where you planted something, maybe a mind thought, a thought that you said, oh, this is what I want. And then it started to grow and develop and you said, oh my gosh, no, I don't want that. Let me have a little different variation on that, okay? So now I have a tomato plant, which I really love. I have this little tomato plant that's giving me little tiny tomatoes. Every couple days I go out and harvest and I get little tomatoes. But I love that plant and it's so much different. The feeling about it is so much different than that little bean plant, which was like, no, that's really not, that's not for me. So what it does is it creates, it gives of itself. Life is an eternal givingness, offering the cosmic self to the joy of its own fulfillment. It manifests into form. Oh, and here's the good question. How can I get a piece of that action? Oh, that's not what it says. How to use it? How do I use this power? And we use it through our word. We use it through the idea of speaking our word. We use it through our thoughts, thinking those pure thoughts. Anybody think only pure thoughts? Yeah, okay. I was just waiting to see if somebody did so I could get the lesson. And then this is our Science of Mind teaching symbol. You may have seen it if you've ever been in a Science of Mind center. Some people think it's a logo. It's not really. It's our teaching symbol. So this describes the entire process that I just talked about. There is that one, that divine nature, all one. It encompasses everything that is. And it has within it that triune nature, the thing itself, the way it works, and what it does. So those are all within that divine circle. We speak our word through the power of prayer. Your word, one, creative energy. So what you speak and what you pray about is what comes into your life. In the prayer, we often do just the positive prayer, the positive part of that. But there is another part of that, which is a denial, which Emma Curtis Hopkins talked about, denial. It's like, you know, what she said is, there is no power in sin, sickness, or death. There is no sin, sickness, or death. There is no power in that. So that's a part of a denial. So our word creates. So we can create with our word, and we can also deny with our word. So spirit manifests into form through that circle that I talked about. There is the creator, and then the creator is the mind, that divine energy, the thing itself. Law is that center part. So we see it's the seed, the soil, the plant that grows. So there are three parts. There is a triune nature to spirit. Mind, law, body. The creator, created, or creator, creative, created. So this is a very quick synopsis of Science of Mind and how to use it. There is a divine power. It works through the divine creative energy. This creative energy says yes. It is a universal part of the creation that always says yes to you. Whatever you say, it says yes. You want to try anything, say yes to? Okay, how about we say this together? I am prosperous.
I am prosperous.
Yes.
Yes.
You got to give that yes in there. I am loving.
I am loving.
Yes. Okay. And I am healthy.
I am healthy.
Yes! Put that energy behind it, and it feels different, doesn't it? Put a little energy behind it. So this is how we use that divine creative energy. We use it by feeling it and letting it be. And sometimes, if we don't yet feel it, we fake it. Ever heard that? Fake it till you make it? You can tell I was grew up in the 80s and 90s. Fake it till you make it. That was it. So you continue to act as if. And this is what we sometimes refer to as the mental equivalent. If you can imagine something, if you can see yourself, if you can actually see it, believe it, then you take steps to get there. The universe then conspires in your favor. Now, you can't just believe, see it and believe it and go, okay, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. Sometimes that works, but really, you have to move your feet as well. You have to take some creative action. Take some action that gets you there. For example, follow your intuition. This is an idea about what comes through that divine mind within you that knows how to be strong, that knows how to be peace, that knows how to do those things. Follow that intuition then and say, oh, yes, let's do this. So how does that work? We follow our intuition going. You get up one day and you say, okay, I need to do this today. I don't know why. When I moved here from California years and years ago, I had the car packed ready to go, and it's like, oh, I'm not going today. All right, that was my intuition. I was being very conscious at that time. And so I said, well, all right. So the next day I got up and I said, car is packed. Everything's ready, not going today. And I didn't know what was happening. So the next day I got up and said, oh, I'm going today. And I was just listening and being in meditation and listening very carefully. And so I drove from here, from California to Austin, and got there. The day before I arrived, they'd have a massive hailstorm that did incredible amounts of damage. And I would have been right in that. But I listened. I stopped to listen to see what was happening. And it was like, no, don't go yet. So we listened for what that divine nature tells us. When I was looking at your site, I saw the Unity Five Basic Principles. So God is the source and creator of all. Yes. Yes. God is the source and creator of all. And so Science of Mind is also totally, absolutely believing that as well. Creator of all. We're spiritual beings created in God's image. Yes. Yes, we are. And we can actually act as if we do believe that. Spirit makes everything out of itself. We create our life experience through our way of thinking. Yes, the creative power. Absolutely. And here's the kicker. Knowledge of these spiritual principles is not enough. We have to live them.
Yes.
Nobody told me about that piece. But actually, it is true that I do know about that, but I've never seen it written that way. I love that. What we have in the Science of Mind is we have a global heart vision, which talks about how we translate what we do into this thing we call life, and how to make a better world. Again, I was having an experience of that one day. I had a volunteer job. And, you know, volunteer jobs are very, 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 very important, but you don't always have to be there at the exact right time. Did you ever notice that? You don't always have to be on time to some of these things. So I was a bookstore manager, and I was just doing my own thing in the bookstore. And I was on my way to the church to be the, you know, take care of the books, and I got this call. Now, this was in the early 90s. I did not have a cell phone. Just to let you know, it wasn't that kind of call. I got a call in my entire body that said, you're going to take a little detour, not so much like the one we did this morning, but a little detour. and you're going to go to the blood bank. And I said, oh, okay, I'm going to go to the blood bank. Now, I have O negative blood, so I'm a universal donor, and they often transfuse babies with that. So they would call me every once in a while. But this was not a phone call. It was just like a call. So I get to the blood bank, and I go through the process, sign in. Were they expecting you? No, I just showed up. So I was there, and they took me back to where they draw the blood. But as I was passing the administrative area, I heard a woman say, oh, the blood that you ordered just walked in. So not only is there a power in the universe that we can use, but there is a power that uses us. So I invite you to be part of that divine conspiracy. There is a power for good in the universe that we can use, and there is a power for good in the universe that flows through us, and we can allow that to use us. Again, we do this through our prayer, through our meditation, through our visioning, all tools that I know you already use. So this is the divine power, the infinite source, the wondrous wisdom of spirit. So let's just take this into our meditation at this time. So this is a science of mind treatment, spiritual mind treatment. And the purpose of it is to know that there is this world that works for everyone. So I start at the beginning. I start from one. There is one power, one presence, one infinite source, one divine nature, one wholeness, one intelligence, one first cause, by whatever name we call it. It is whole and it is holy. It has created us out of itself in its image and likeness, and we are individualized expressions of that divine spirit. And as such, we are co-creators. So we create our world based on our thoughts, on our words, on the steps that we take. And so right now, I know the truth about each and every person here, whether present in form, people across the world. What I know is that every person has that divine birthright of abundance, that the spirit within provides everything that's necessary for the wholeness, for the growth, for the perfect peace for each person. There is more than enough. And so as people step forward and share their loaves, their fishes, as we share, the world becomes a better place. There is peace as we come into an understanding that each and every one of us is divine. Each and every one of us come from that same spiritual DNA. It is in our hearts. It is in our minds. It is the truth of who we are. And so I see this world enveloped in peace. And I speak my word also for a divine creative expression, that each person is absolutely allowing that divine energy to flow through them in a very unique way, in a way that serves, that supports all of the other individualized expressions, because there is only one. There is only one. And so we see health, we see peace, we see divine creative expression, we see prosperity. And this is This is a world that works for everyone. And I keep that vision in my mind's eye, acting accordingly. Where there is something I have to give, I give freely. Where there is something that I need to receive, I receive that freely. There is a divine flow, an energy, an essence, a perfect wholeness. I know this is good. I know this is that divine spirit in action. This is absolute, unequivocal love, light, joy, peace, wonder, understanding. And I give thanks for this. I'm so grateful for this word. I'm so grateful for this law that says yes. And so as I hear that law echoing the yes, I simply let it be. The law does the work in ways beyond what I can imagine. I let it be. And so it is. Amen.